This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info. Now let's get this show started. Jay Randall, welcome back, brother.
Why, thank you, sir.
Facebook, YouTube, podcast listeners, welcome back to another show. Little Father's Day special edition. I think out of all the guests we've had, I haven't been this nervous in a long time.
I would be nervous. Just don't say anything messed up. You can't smack you.
He's got dad strength, you know?
Yeah, although I think he'd probably be the one to like really come out of left field.
Oh man, this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. You know, you and I have had conversations about doing this show for probably 3 years now, and you know, last week reached out to my dad. This dad, everybody, Marty Schiller in the house. But you know, it. We were talking last week and I was like, hey, why don't you come on the podcast next week and we'll do kind of like a Father's Day special show. And then, you know, we fished a derby this weekend and that turned out really good. So that just gave us more to talk about. But I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of laughs, a lot of emotion and things like that running around tonight. So should be a good show. Those of you guys tuning in, go down in that lower left-hand corner, click that share button. Let's get some folks in here. Drop in the comments as we're going along, and we'll pop them up on the screen. If you guys got any questions, things like that, we'll get them answered. But Pops, I mean, welcome to the show. And let's get a little background on you first. You know, how'd you get into fishing? What's your earliest fishing memory? I was thinking about this today because I don't think you've ever shared that particular moment with me. But when did you, I know you grew up on a lake right outside of Chicago. So when did you get into fishing?
Probably when I was five.
Five?
Went ice fishing with my dad all the time. Then in the spring, we went on the chain of lakes. So, yeah, as long as I can remember when I was a kid, if we weren't down fishing, we were playing baseball or army or whatever when we were kids. you know, we left the house after breakfast and came home for dinner and went back out till the street lights came on. Of course, we didn't have none, so had to wait till Grandma was screaming at us.
Yeah, get back here. Well, I mean, that's funny because I've talked about it on numerous shows, numerous podcasts I've done. I think my earliest fishing memory is when we went ice fishing and I caught that 18 and a half inch crappie through the ice. And I mean, that's, I remember like you were freaking out as I'm like trying to pull this thing through the hole. And I, you know, I was what, 6, 7 at the time,
most, yeah.
You know, and you're like, holy shit. I'm going to preference this there. If you guys are listening in the car with your kids in the area, there may be a few words that slip out here. Okay. Dad was a trucker for many years, but, you know, it's, you know, you kind of freaked out and I was just like, oh, cool fish, you know, can I go back outside of the shack and play?
You know? I want to go out and play in the snow.
Yeah. So, you know, and I remember, you know, you're like, that's a fish of a lifetime. You're never going to forget it. And I mean, every time I go to your mom's house, you know, I see that photograph on the wall holding the, you're holding the fish. I'm in front of you. And it's like, it just brings me back to that day every time, which is super cool. Mm. Souders is in the chat. He says, that's the last big fish I caught.
No, he got big bass this weekend. 5-3.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, you have always been an amazing storyteller. Like you got a story for everything, which is great. And it's a trait I love to death about you. And, I mean, as we're talking about this, like what is your fondest fishing memory? Like what's your favorite fishing memory out of all, I mean, what, you're 67 now?
Gonna be 66. Jesus. October is 67.
Man. Yeah, no, I
just need more phones.
So I mean, you've basically been fishing for, you know, 60 plus years. I mean, out of all those years fishing, like what is like probably the top memory that you've ever had? And I think I know what this is, so I want to see what your answer is.
There's a couple of them. One was this weekend that I always had dreamed of.
Sure.
That's why I bought the boat, was to fish with you and the grandkids. But one of my earliest memories is when I was a garbage man, I went up north. My boss had a double wide that he was opening up in the spring for walleye season, and went with my dad, and we were at the bait shop, and I seen this orange Rapala they just put out, and we weren't catching any walleyes, and we spot this deer that fell through the ice in the northern, they're just up there scrounging on us. So I tied the orange Rapala on, and I start catching northern, and my dad goes, we're not here to catch garbage fish. I go, I'm here to catch fish, Dad. I don't care what they are. Take me in. I'm going to the bar. And then later that day, I hooked a big one and it broke off. But yeah, that's one of my earliest. I was only, what, 14 or 15?
Sure. No, it's pretty cool, man. I mean, you grew up on the water, which I'm definitely jealous of. But, you know, as I got older, we moved closer to water. And I remember as a kid riding our bike to the old gravel pit and catching bass. Yeah. Yeah, and things like that. And it's pretty cool and unique that. Because I remember growing up, like, you got two hobbies, right? It's golf and fishing, and that's, like, pretty much all you did, other than work, which you did a hell of a lot of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I play golf, and we joke about it now because my younger brother is a golf pro, and I'm in the fishing world, and you know, it's I always say I got the better half of you, but I'm sure my brother would argue a little bit with that. But it's cool, man. You know, I thought your memory was going to be your day in Florida.
Well, that too. But I was going by my earliest memory.
Well, I said some of your favorite memories. So yeah. so let's talk about that, because I remember when we started the podcast, I found you shared that photo with me, and I posted it on our Instagram, and I'll pull it up as you're telling the story. But I mean, this is probably got to be one of the most epic days I've ever heard of in my life, mm-hmm. as far as fishing goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a 9, 11, and a 10.
All in the same day.
Like all in the same day.
Like what, 3 hours?
Probably a 6 hour day, but I mean, let several fives and sixes and eights go. I mean, it was a day to remember. I mean, like no other. I mean, it was funny. I read an article in Bassmaster before I was going down to the Bears Tampa Bay game, and I read this article on a guy down there, and so I called him up. And when we went down for the Bears game the first time, we went out, and then I went back in February with my buddy Bob for his birthday. And that's when we really hit them good, because they were getting ready to move up on bed. But yeah, it was one of the greatest days of fishing.
I mean, how do you top that?
Winning a tournament with my son.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
I'm telling you.
This is our relationship, folks. We'll bicker back and forth all day long, so get ready for it, because it'll get quite humorous. I'm still looking for this photo. It's way back in the archives, but I mean, at that point, like, I'd be like, all right, I'm done. Like, how am I ever going to top this day? You know what I mean? It's just I've never ever heard anybody have that epic of a day ever on the water. Which is cool. So what were you guys catching them on?
Can I ask? Shiners.
That? Shiners. Okay. So you're using live bait. You were cheating.
Yeah, but we weren't using the bobber, because, you know, I told them if we're using a bobber, I'm not fishing. But we live spooled, and it was the neatest thing I've ever done with live bait, because he would catch the wild shiners first thing in the morning. And then we went out, and what we were doing, we would cruise over to hydrilla. You'd let that shiner back there. There's one of them. And you'd let them free spool. And then what it was cool, they'd come up to the surface. They'd hit that shiner, and then shiner would flop on top of the water. Then they'd come up and take it head first, and then you'd let them run with it, click your bail shut, and count the 3,000 and set the hook and hang on.
I mean, you've aged quite well, old man. I'm just going to say
that. Bad for an old guy.
I was just going to say, I was like, yeah, you look an awful lot like him, Brian.
it's not the first time that's been stated.
Apple don't fall far from the tree, but thank God he's got a little more of his mother in him than me.
He's kissing ass now because mom's sitting like right next to us.
Yeah, yeah. She's in smack conditions too.
I don't think I have the picture where you're holding all three, because you guys put them in the live well, right, and took some photos and then released them.
Yeah. Yeah, but we took them out in the middle of the lake, so nobody knew where we caught them.
Sure. I mean, just look at the belly of that fish. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, that lake, he's exaggerating the weight.
Well, you know what I love about this photo? the retro Quantum hat up there he's got on.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, dude, he's even got this a collar on. I mean, look at this guy.
Yeah, he's got his collared shirt on. He's got his fancy watch and his ring that he's always wearing. You know, hey, this guy's fishing in style. I'm just saying.
That was the long jeans. That wasn't even a Rolex.
But, you know, he's been around the block for sure. You know, it's pretty cool, man. It's, you know, you instill the wealth of fishing knowledge into me. And, you know, that tournament bug, I kind of got that. And that sense of competitiveness, which, you know, you used to fish tournaments back in the, you know, mid to late 90s, you know?
Yeah, early 90s. Yeah.
So what got you into competitive fishing?
Fred, when I was working at the one company, Fred and Tom were... there they are.
Well, here. I can't.
Typical guy.
The camera's over there.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me, I'll text this to myself.
But anyway, Fred and Tom, and then Tom's son got old enough to fish. So, Fred asked me if I'd join him. And the big mistake was the first term we went to the Madison chain. We took third place,
which is funny because when I fished KBF in Madison, I took second in the pro tour and I took, I think it was eighth in the trail, but I did have one good finish, the tournament before that in Kansas. So
yeah.
I think I took 10th or something or 9th in that one. So it's kind of funny, like how our, as far as competitive fishing goes, like our stories kind of run parallel, so to speak, which is kind of crazy. But so was when we went ice fishing, was that the first time you ever took me fishing? I've never asked you this.
No, when we went on core.
No, I don't. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, yeah. Well, you and your brother were probably six, maybe five and six. And we'd go down to the quarry, the old quarry pond. And I took you guys and you guys killing the bluegills.
Okay. And I figured there was some of that in there. Yeah. It's just like my first actual fishing memory is that ice fishing trip because obviously we caught a huge fish.
You know? Yeah.
And I think it's too, like I've thought about it, like your excitement got me excited about it. And that's why it's kind of been instilled in me, so to speak. But here's the photo with the three. I'll zoom in on this a little bit. But I mean, it's pretty cool to look back on it.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
God, one fish just dwarfs the other two.
Yeah, this one on the right.
Oh yeah, that thing is huge. That wasn't an 11.
That's the 11.
The
eight's in the middle and the 10 kind of like sideways, so you can't see the 10 that well.
That's insane.
That's my buddy Bob that I took him down there for a short day and I caught the big fish. God rest his soul. He was a super nice guy.
Yeah, he was. He was a character for sure.
Oh, God.
Character. I mean, I look back on him, Fred, like all those guys that you used to fish with. They were all characters, man.
But... And Bob, the time we went to Kentucky Lake, I picked him up at his house in Addison.
Right.
I think I told you a story.
Yeah.
And he had six 30 packs old style and a 12 on ice. And that was Sunday and Friday afternoon. Of course, Kentucky Lake is dry. He had to start drinking his buddy's Miller Lite. because he ran out of Old Style, and he was the only one drinking Old Style.
He was a guy that liked to enjoy himself for sure.
Oh God, he's the only guy I know could drink a case of beer and walk straighter than I could, drive straighter than I could.
We don't encourage drinking, folks.
No, that's a long time ago. That's back in the '80s when you could get away with that stuff.
But
well, I mean, not making it better. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, right? Like we're talking about your trip to Florida, but you used to travel around quite a bit, fishing wise. Like, so you know, you were a truck driver for many years, and you've been in 49 of 50 states, correct?
The only one I got left is Alaska,
right?
Been in everything but the Yukon, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and Newfoundland.
Newfoundland. We know some Newfies. Mm-hmm. He's a character. Yeah. I mean, out of all these states you've been in, how many of them do you think you've actually fished in? Because I don't think I know the answer to that.
Wow. Arizona, Florida.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Nevada, Tennessee, Kentucky.
We fished in Vermont on that road trip.
On that road trip, we fished in Vermont. Ohio, New York, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota.
Canada.
It covers about all.
You've gotten around.
Well, I'm old.
You're a fishing slut. Just saying.
Lord.
But
I got a great wife.
Yeah,
that's all.
I'm pretty fortunate too. This is my opportunity to earn brownie points right now. You know, we've been pretty lucky, both of us traveling around fishing.
You and your brother too.
He's okay. He's not here to defend himself.
I'm talking about life-wise.
I was going to say, I don't know. I've met him, so.
Yeah. I'm talking wife. No. Great wife, great life.
Yeah, it is for sure.
That's my motto. Sure.
So out of all those states, like, what is one state like you haven't fished in that you would like to fish in?
Oh, you know what? I forgot. Arkansas.
Yeah, you used to go to Arkansas as a kid a lot, right?
Yeah, Arkansas. I did a lot of fishing in Arkansas. The one that I would probably like to go down to is Lake Fork.
Lake Fork, all right, yeah. Texas, yeah.
Texas would be probably Texas or Louisiana Delta or California Delta.
California Delta.
Yeah.
Shreveport,
yeah.
Louisiana. Yeah, I mean, all big fish factories, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Alabama. That's right. I fished in Alabama on Eufaula once.
On Eufaula?
Eufaula, yeah.
All right. Eufaula is a big lake for the kayak guys. They do quite a bit of tournaments there. Same with Lake Fork.
Yeah.
Shreveport. They've done a few bigger events in Arkansas for sure.
yeah.
I don't know who it is. It says Facebook user, but it says paddle and fin tournament at Lake Fork in honor of Brian's dad. Make it happen. I mean, you don't have to convince me.
I'm bringing a boat.
I'm going to be in the
you
boat.
You guys going to kayak.
Oh, it's nope, Souders.
Save a spot Souders. For me in the boat.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be comfortable. Sorry, guys.
I mean, that's interesting, right? Like you bring up the boat, and I've taken a little bit of heat lately because I've spent a lot of time in the boat, but a lot of that is fishing with you. Like it's, I was thinking about this today. I think it was three Father's Days ago. We went out fishing on the lake here and I put you in the Blue Sky and I was in a Jackson Coosa FD or Big Rig FD and I caught my first ever muskie.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I got the pictures. Yeah.
And I remember I'm like, oh, I don't know what the hell this is. And then it surfaced and I was like, holy shit, it's a muskie. It's a muskie. You were freaking out. I thought you were going to jump off the Blue Sky and try netting the thing or something. But, you know, it was cool to see you attempt to get into what I've been doing a lot of, which was super cool. And, you know, there was many phone calls. Hey, do you think you can pick up the Blue Sky? Let's go out fishing, you know, which is super cool. You know, it just goes to show that kayak fishing isn't just for, you know, the younger guys, the, you know, older guys like Jay or yourself.
You know? Yeah. Well, I'm considered a real old guy. I'm the antique.
I'm the old plug on the wall, you know, but it was super cool and it was unique. And then, you know, like you mentioned, you bought a boat last year and it's been one of the coolest things to get back on the water with you. And I want to rewind a little bit with that being said, like as a kid, when you were fishing those tournaments, a lot of times you would take me out with you pre-fishing. You know, the weekend before an event or something that you had coming up. And one of those memories I have, it was like 5:30 in the morning. And he's like, drive the boat. And at the time, I think you had the 20-foot Skeeter with a 200-horse Merc on the back with the hot plate on the floor. And you're like, freaking step on it, let's go. And I'm like, dude, we're doing like 45 miles an hour. He's like, hurry up, let's go. 80 miles an hour across Grass Lake, like, and he's still like, hurry up, there's some more in there. We're gonna miss the bite, you know. Which I don't know, it's just one of those memories that's totally wild to me, but it was one of the things that I missed since you got rid of a boat. Right.
Yep.
And me too. And I know you did as well. And it's been cool to be back on the water with you. I mean, making memories and giving each other a hard time. And, you know, the one thing I remember, right, is when you were pre-fishing, you were running the front of the boat. So you were catching all the damn fish. And I would sit in the back of the boat going, what the hell is wrong with me? Like, how can he catch all these fish and I can't catch a single one? And now those roles have been reversed. where there's been some times, like, you know, normally I'm running in the front of the boat and you're fishing out of the back. And, you know, I'll hook like three and he's like, God damn it, another one? What the hell? What the hell? You know?
At least I can handle a net.
Ouch. I think that's going to get popped up here, but it's kind of cool. But let me ask you this. So I've thought about this and I don't think we've ever really talked about this, but like, what do you think about what I do fishing wise, like with the kayak teams, working with sponsors, fishing tournaments, doing trade shows? Like I've never asked you what you thought about that. I know you've always been like, oh, that's cool, you're going to do that, but like, what, I mean, what do you think about all that?
Well, I think it's awesome. I'm proud of you. I you know, I would have never known how to do that stuff. You know, I've got the one friend that's on the FLW tour,
sure,
but you know, same thing. He's got his own company and he's got money to burn.
Yeah.
You know, the last Ranger he bought was, and that's like 10 years ago. I think the boat was 65,000 and the electronics was 35,000. You know, he had $100,000 in the boat.
Sure.
And he's never really made it big, big money. He just, what was it, a year ago or something, somebody finally bumped him out of Big Bass. His record was 11-4 on Harris. He held the Big Bass for FLW for years. And then somebody just caught, I think it was a 12 or something.
Huh.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's to do that and to negotiate sponsors and stuff is, it's an art. And, you know, you got to be good in order to get it done.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
So, but no, I just, I'm amazed at what you do and how you enjoy it. And one of the memories I do have when we were pre-fishing was the time I told you to throw the buzzbait by the log.
Yeah, I remember that.
I couldn't believe
it. Well, that's when I was first learning how to throw a baitcaster.
Yep.
And baitcasters are nothing like what they used to be.
Oh,
They used to be so frustrating. You know, you didn't have all this. Yeah, you don't have like these magnetic brake systems and, you know, electronic trip chips and some of these, you know, newer reels and stuff like that. And yeah, you were like, I'm pretty sure it was a black buzz bait. And you were like, throw it up by that log. Cause there was a storm that came through. I think it was the night before or two nights before. And we were fishing in the channel, which I believe runs right behind your brother's house.
It does.
Yeah. And at the time he wasn't living there though. I don't think.
No.
But so I cast it up there and I get this backlash, right? Cause I'm new to bait casters. So I'm sitting there picking it out, get it out fairly quickly, and I go to start reeling, and it's just heavy. And I think it was, did you weigh that thing? It had to have been like a 9-pound catfish.
Yeah, I think it was.
Smoked a buzzbait right next to a log.
You know, like 9 pounds over.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. And you were like, he ain't putting that greasy, nasty thing in my boat. Hold on, I'm coming back there to get it. I don't want that on my carpet. You know, like, I mean, that's how most fishermen are up in the north, you know, like you catch a northern pike or a catfish. You're like, you ain't putting that on my floor, you know, but pretty unique.
We didn't have camera phones back then, unfortunately.
No. This is like pre cell phone days.
Yeah.
Well, like more cell phones out, but they were in like a brick briefcase. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah, it was Morse code. Dee, 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 dee,
dee, dee, dee, dee, smoke signals. but it's super cool. Super cool memories that will last lifetimes for sure. You know, it's always cool and good to reminisce and bring those things up. You know, and look back on where we were and where we've come. You know, it's pretty incredible.
Well, just the engines. The second Skeeter I had, the first one wasn't even fuel injection. It was carbureted, and the second one was fuel injection, but you still had to have the oil injection.
Yeah.
Now this four-stroke, there's no comparison.
Yeah.
None.
Well, that's something, too, like I thought about, like, so you fish 60 some years, like you've seen a lot of advancements and changes in fishing gear, boats, like everything. Like, what is the one thing that amazes you the most looking back to 60 years ago to today? What is the biggest thing that you think has improved fishing?
Electronics, hands down, electronics. Some of these live target units, the guy I fish with in Arizona had the live target.
Yeah.
Throw the umbrella rig. You could see the umbrella rig hit the water and sink. You could see the fish following it back to the boat. It was incredible. Just incredible.
I mean, it's something we got to get put on the boat, just saying.
You don't let your mother hear the price.
It's $100. $100.
We got a great deal on it at the store.
Yeah, we got a great deal on it. Jay says. But
such a deal for you. I got such a deal.
But no, I figured that would be probably it. I mean, when you look at it now, like electronics has really changed the game of fishing quite a bit. Oh. And it's made some piss poor fishermen some pretty incredible fishermen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, did you, I don't think you watched that tournament that they had for the amateurs, Johnny Morris.
I didn't. You told me about it.
Yeah. They had the live target system. They were catching spotted.
Spots down spots at Table Rock, right?
Down at Table Rock. And they were, it's like playing electronic video. They would see the fish, they'd throw it, they'd see the fish get the bait, and they hooked it.
Yeah.
And I was kind of disappointed that he didn't do it again this year.
Oh, the Johnny Morris tournaments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of disappointing. It was a one-year deal, I guess.
Yeah, they had a big open. For those of you guys that don't know, Johnny Morris owns Bass Pro Shops, and they did a big bunch of open tournaments throughout the country. And then there was a championship at the end. And then what, first place
team
got like a, they each got boats, right?
They each got boats. They each got Tundras, and they each got $500,000.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. It was incredible. I mean, but I forget what he donated all the proceeds to conservation. So, yeah. And you had to have, one of the boats that he sells, you had to have Ranger,
Tracker,
Tracker,
Nitro,
Ranger, Mako.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
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 So, yeah. I mean, but it was incredible. And for two amateurs to win that kind of money, and I wouldn't mind paying the taxes on it.
No, it's cool to see those types of events going on, you know, giving the little guys shots, you know, at some big earnings, big recognition, things like that.
Yeah, television.
Yeah,
it was cool.
I mean, it's the same thing in the kayak world right now with BASS is running a kayak series now. Obviously, the Hobie events have been doing really good, which is cool. I mean, let me ask you this, because you used to sail. Was it out of a Hobie Cat? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was when I was in eighth grade, Dad bought that for me.
Yeah.
But I took it out in a storm and split the mast.
Oops. Wait till your father gets home. I don't know how many times I've heard that.
Yeah, but back in my day, it meant something.
It meant something too, but we got our buddy Richie Lockery in the chat. He says, badass dad in the chat. Richie's a good dad. I've seen him interact with his son when I was down there on Table Rock. That's my buddy that lives down there right close by Table Rock. He's okay. On, what is that, Tenny Como? I'm sure Richie will correct me, but yeah, no, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Jay, I'm sorry you've been so quiet. What has been your fondest fishing memory with your two boys?
I don't know. I've had quite a few of them, I think, but when we were living at Four Lakes in Lyle, Illinois, that is. They have a private lake there and stuff, and we'd go out in these paddle boats.
I love how you got to be like in Illinois, that is, now that you're all Mr. Right. Tennessee.
Yeah, that, well, you know, that's, you know, I've shed that weight.
Taxes, too.
Dude. Don't even get me started on that. We're good here, bro. We're good. They had these paddle boats you could take out, and I mean, of course, it was a private lake, and you would always, I mean, like an average fish was like a 17-inch bass.
Sure.
But I remember like taking Seth, well, Jared and Seth, and it's, you know, a hot summer day. You know, you're pretty much help desk when you're, you know, the father.
So, you know, you're baiting hooks, you know, you're paddling or pedaling rather the paddle boat. And then I remember Jared got caught in the trees or something, and we were in the shade and I saw something moving. I'm like, Seth, I was like, throw your bobber right over there in that shade. So he does, and he's got this little 3-foot pole, and all of a sudden his pole just goes, whoa. I was like, oh, my God. So he pulls this thing up, dude. It's like an 18-inch bass, you know, and it's like one of the first big bass he's ever caught. And he was like, I did what you said, Dad. I did what you said. It's like, okay, well, let's get the thing up there and reel it up and everything. And he was just like astounded, you know, with the size, you know, and just everything. I mean, I had pictures of him when he was small. And I mean, you've of course met Seth. So him small is a lot different than big. So,
yeah.
But I mean, he's like opened his mouth as big as the fish. And I mean, he was just ecstatic. Well, and then the same lake, I had him on short. This kid caught like in one sitting, a 17-inch bass. Like, I think it was like a 14-inch crappie. He caught like this giant catfish. And then he ended up bringing up like a walleye. I was like, I don't know what he was. He was dragging a jig. Just screwing around because they don't, you know how it is. Kids go in your tackle box and they're like, I'm going to use this. I just told him what to do. I was like, well, just toss it in there and just pull it in. And he ended up pulling up all these fish. But kind of to like your dad's story about kids fishing, as soon as he caught all this stuff, he was like, oh, Dad, I'm going to go play. And he just like drops the rod and just cruises. Like yeah. Him and his brother. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, we walked here. So, I'm gonna carry stuff too, I guess, you know. But I mean, we, you know, rivers and stuff. Actually, Four Lakes is a great place with the DuPage going through there too, or the, I think it was the East Fork. Sure. We caught smallies in there. I mean, we had a lot of fun. But you know, the kids, they're not really fishermen. They didn't really take for them, but they do, you know, they enjoy those times. And Seth will bring up that stuff here and there, but. You know, it's cool. It's cool to get out there and do that. I mean, I didn't really get. I fished with my dad like a lot, but also not a lot because he would usually fish with my grandpa. Okay. So, and they would, man. I mean, there's pictures. I mean, they would fish like Michigan, of course. Mm-hmm. But they would have just pictures and pictures of salmon and trout lined up on the yard. I mean,
yeah,
just insane pictures. You know, I'm sure your dad can attest. Just massive amounts of fish. I mean. You know, I remember eating smoked trout and smoked salmon all the time. My dad, you know, me and him went out, you know, quite a few times, and I caught a lure.
I actually caught like a 15-inch walleye on a lure he had for like 30 years that he gave to me. And he was testing out like a new rod or something. And I was like, I'm going to tie on this spinner. And I think we were at Braidwood. Braidwood off of one of the fingers, and I like tossed it in there, and I was like, Dad, and it was like a crappy day. Of course, that's like the best time to go walleye fishing.
Sure.
Storm was ready to roll in. It was just super nasty. He just got this reel and let's reel and rod, and he wanted to test out. You know, he didn't even care. And I like ended up pulling that fish, but it was just kind of funny. He thought I was messing with him. I was like, I got a fish. He's like, no, you don't. I'm like, I don't know how I could be lying about this. Like, you see my rod, you know, but ended up pulling up this pretty good sized fish. It was cool. But yeah, man, I mean, I've had some good times with the boys. I mean, when I had a boat, you know, like they would go out, we did some catfishing and stuff, you know?
Sure.
But you know, try to share, you know how it is. You just try to show them as much as you can, see what sticks.
You know? Well, I remember the old boat, that I have here, you know, I used to take the wife and the kids out on Lake Geneva every once in a while. And I took you out a few times.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, I was pretty good friends with the guy that owned the bait shop there on Lynn Pier. And, I was like, hey man, I want to take my kids out and maybe get small, large. What can you give me? And he was like, circle hook and some suckers. Put a split shot like a foot above it, and I had Ange and the kids out, and I'll never forget like the look on Zach's face. He hooked into like a 16-inch smallmouth, and it came shooting 4 feet out of the water, just tail dancing, and he was like,
you know, like giggling like a little schoolgirl, like freaking out, like, did you see that? Like, and same thing with Sammy too, you know, she caught a couple and it was the same thing. And I mean, at that time, I think Zach might have been 7 or 8. Sammy was probably 5, 4 or 5, you know, somewhere around there. And you know, and still to this day, both of the kids will go out occasionally with me. Sammy loves being out in the kayak because she's one to be her own person and do her own thing. And she just loves that independence, so to speak, of being in her own kayak. But, you know, her and the wife have gone out and they've caught some good fish with me here in the past year, you know, with the boat now, and which has been awesome. You know, and even Zach went out when fish weren't even really biting yet. And he caught that, what, 4, 3.5 pounder or something.
3.5 or 4.
Yeah. And he had a great time, man. It's cool. And now, too, like, you know, you mentioned grandkids. To me, that's nephews. You know, my son's about to turn 20. My daughter just graduated high school. So, like, you know, the next level to come up is the nephews, you know, my brother's kids, my sister-in-law's son, and getting them out and seeing the excitement they get out of it. Like this past weekend, we had my sister-in-law's son out, and for his birthday, we got him a little Cars push button, like Zepco fishing pole. And he didn't catch anything, but I hooked into a largemouth and I let him reel it in, and he was just jazzed. And it was like a 14 incher, you know, but it's cool to see the look on their face, especially the two little ones, right? Like, how old are the twins now? 5, 4?
5, aren't they, hon?
Yeah, so we always got to refer back to the women because we don't know.
Timmy's 7.
Yeah, Timmy's 7.
Talks your ear off.
He talks your ear off, and like, he wants you to see every cast he makes, which is so cool to me because like, he gets it. He's like, did you see that, Uncle Brian? That was pretty good, huh? You know? And he's like, I think I'm going to cast over here. And it's funny, too, because he does the typical little kid thing. He'll see where you caught a fish. And he's like, I think I should cast right there where you just caught that one. Right, Uncle Brian? And I was like, yeah, go ahead, bud. you know? But it's super cool. And it's huge, man, like to be able to carry on these traditions that the three of us all love. And we've done for many, many, many years. And, you know, just to see it continue on and see the excitement that we used to get out of that. And I think it's a great reminder to us, you know, when you see a young person like that hook into a fish, get that excited. I think for me, at least, it reminds me, that's right, that's how excited I should be when I hook into one, you know. It makes me feel like that.
Well, I just remembered when we lived on Laredo, taking Sammy and Zach in the back.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I forgot about it. Yeah. Zach hooked that. It's probably an 18 inch on it.
Yeah.
Snoopy reel, and it was stripping the gear. So I had to grab the line and pull it in.
Yeah.
And
I forgot all about that.
Yeah. I did too till just now.
Yeah.
I just thought about it. We had the pond in the backyard.
Yeah. My folks had a place, and there was that pond had to have been
probably 3 acres.
Two, 3 acres, you know, and it was loaded with catfish and bluegill and bass, which was awesome. We got Dustin Nichols in the house. What up, brother? But I mean, it's just so cool, you know, to see them full circle, you know. Like, I remember as a kid, like, you would go fish a tournament. I was like, shit, I really wish I could go with dad right now, you know. But
you weren't old enough.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a problem. They had an age limit.
But it's super cool now to see it come full circle and come back around. So I mean, we're at like 48 minutes right now. So we'll get into this past weekend. I haven't even talked to Jay about this yet. So this is all new to Jay. I'm sure Jay read a post on Facebook. Yes, no?
Nah. Probably no, flip right by it.
He's been living in the woods in the middle of Tennessee making moonshine.
I believe in anti-social media.
Good for you. Good for you. But Had the local neighborhood derby here this past weekend, team event, and we fished it last year, and we took fourth.
Third.
Somebody says Jay was fighting off ticks. Sounds about right. But, yeah, last year we took third or fourth. No, it was fourth because we were out of the money and they pay top three spots.
No, they only paid two.
Last year they did?
Yeah, we only had eight boats.
Okay, all right.
We were out of the money by 8 ounces.
We took third. We were out of
the
money.
Let's think of the, hold on. Let's just think of the age comparison and how a tease remembers versus you.
Touche. Touche, my friend. Touche. So last year we took third, and I was pretty determined last year. Like I ever since I've lived here, like that has been one of my missions is to win the neighborhood derby, right? Like, cause you're big man on the lake if you win the derby, right? And I'm friends with most of these guys and run into them on the water all the time. Super friendly. We share information with each other, things like that. And going into this year, I didn't pre-fish as much, which was probably good because I didn't wear them out. Like, I went out Friday night for maybe 2.5 hours. But for an hour of that, I did a podcast off the front of the boat. I don't know if I told you that. But I did a podcast with Sean Lavery, Bass Fishing for Noobs. And I went and checked the one spot we started at last year, which did us pretty good. And I think I caught like a 3-2 or something out of there. Then I went down to this other spot where we didn't have any luck last year. We might have caught one down there. And I cast in. I catch a 5-4. And like I knew it was a big bite, and I tried to pull the bait out of the fish's mouth, which I did. And then he successfully came back and chomped it and unfortunately reeled him in. And I'm like, why did you have to do this now? Like, I need you tomorrow, not tonight. And I'm like, all right, maybe it was a fluke. Next cast in, I catch a 25.5-inch walleye. And I'm like, all right, there's fish here. I'm getting out of here. Did the podcast. Checked like two other spots, got out of there, called you that night. I was like, well, I caught a 5-3 over here. This is where we're going to start because I also caught the walleye. So there's fish stacked out there. If you get two big fish like that in one spot, my theory is there's plenty of bait out there that these fish are feeding on, which that one I caught Friday night, I don't know if I told you, had a bluegill tail coming out of its throat. So I'm like, all right, they're chomping out here, right? Post-spawn. Derby morning, we go out there, get to the spot. Trolling motor issues. And you're like, I'll come up there. I'll give you a hand. I'm like, just stay in the back of the boat. Fish. You fish. I'll take care of this. You fish. Right? And that's you know... Us Shillers get kind of flustered at times, you know, and we talk with a heightened, elevated voice and things like that. But, you know, I'm like, you stay back there and fish. I think I finally got it worked out, and then you hooked into one first, right? Or did I?
You did.
I did. All right. We caught our limit in, like, what, the first hour and 20 minutes, I think it was?
Yeah. Yeah, about 7:30.
Yeah.
7:30, quarter to 8.
And Derby picked up at 6:15.
Yeah. 8 o'clock, we started culling.
Yeah, right. We're like, all right, we're doing all right. Caught a big fish. Our scale read, I think it was like 4-something.
4:15.
But when we weighed it in, it was actually 5-3.
Yeah.
You lost two really good fish. One was definitely my fault.
I wouldn't say that.
I was in the way. You couldn't see where that fish was running. I'll take the blame for that one. The other one jumped at the boat, came unhooked. You had such a look of defeat on your face at that point. And you were just, again, crushed. Choice words were said. Rods were thrown. And...
I said to you, don't worry about it. We'll be fine. Just keep fishing, right?
Yep.
You reset. You reset. And you proceeded to get, I think, the rest of our upgrades for the day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 3.8, 3.6.
Yeah, because 3.8 was our small,
yeah,
small fish when we weighed in. Yeah, so
3.13. I think I had a 3.13 too.
You did. You did. You had a 3.13, a 3.11, and a 3.8, which got rid of our three smallest fish.
Yeah.
So I think when we got our limit in the morning, our smallest fish was like
2.6 or 2.8.
Yeah, it was smaller. But you know, Derby ends. Well, let's take that back. So we sat on that spot for probably 4 or 5 hours.
They told us 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard 5.
Yeah. So we leave. We go to some other spots that we had. We got our upgrades there. But when we went to weigh in, it was interesting because everybody said their bite died at like 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock. And we proceeded to catch some fish after that, which I think a lot of it had to do with finesse fishing was one of the keys. Two was you were throwing that underspin, and we saw fish breaking on the surface, chasing bait fish. We couldn't figure out what it was. We didn't see
any of these fish.
But you figured it out. You started throwing that underspin and started jacking fish, which was great, super great. Got our upgrades, go to the weigh-in. You were sitting at the boat. I was up by the scale. Guys are like, you guys must have been on them, huh? And I was like, we did all right. They're like, you guys sat in the same spot for like 6 hours or 5 hours, whatever it was. And I was like, well, yeah, I wanted to make sure we caught all the fish. So when you guys moved in there, there wasn't nothing left for you, you know?
Or we beat them up, man.
Yeah. So we weigh the fish, go back to the boat, release the fish right there at the lake, and we're just sitting there talking, and we're kind of watching some other guys walk by with their bags, and like, oh, that guy got a few nice ones, you know. And I was putting my rod socks on my rods and stuff, and then they finished up weighing, and you know, we're talking. And the guy that ran the event, you know, says, hey, Brian, you need to come up here. I was like, all right, what did I do? You know, and Chuck announced it. You know, he didn't even start like, you know, most tournaments, they go third, second, first. No, they just went straight for it. And he's like, in first place, Brian and Marty Schiller. And they also won big bass. And I turned around and looked at you like, what the f- just happened? You know, because we knew we had a good bag. I didn't think we had the winning bag. And initially, when he announced the weights up there, I thought we won by like 2 pounds. But I was wrong. It was 0.8 pound we won by for overall, which was pretty crazy. One. Two, we got big fish, which I kind of had a feeling that we did win big bass because last year I think big bass was like 4 pounds, 4 ounces.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, oh, this fish should at least win us big bass. And, you know, Chuck gave me the envelope. I walked back down to the boat and, you know, the two of us, I think, had the biggest shit-eating grins on our face. That should say enough, you know, but
show me the money.
Yeah. You know, it was pretty crazy. And I think we were both in shock at first. And then I think it kind of hit us both after we got the boat loaded up. We were in the parking lot. We shed some tears. And went to breakfast. We actually ran into one of the guys on the way out. And he's like, oh, you guys celebrating, you know? So, but it was pretty incredible, man. And we talked at breakfast, like, you know, going back to the way we started the show, you know,
you had some top 10 finishes in your time bass fishing tournaments, never won. I've had some top 10 finishes in my day, kayak fishing, never won. And then this derby comes, we're fishing together as a team, and we both get our first win together.
Come here.
Sorry, guys. Dogs.
Good old trout.
He heard a big bang outside. So, but pretty cool. I posted that up on Facebook and Instagram, and I wanted to say thank you to everybody that commented on that. And, you know, a lot of, I haven't told you this yet, but, you know, a lot of folks were like, that is absolutely amazing. Memories that are unbuyable, unforgettable, and it was super cool. And, you know, I don't think I would have wished I would have won a tournament with anybody else. So
was my dream when I bought the boat. I
there, now you can give it to me.
Way to ruin the moment, Jay, you son of a bitch.
But I told my wife that I wanted the boat again so that I could fish with the grandkids and my son. And the ultimate was this weekend winning the tournament. It doesn't get any better. And well, it does, but it's something him and I will cherish forever.
For sure. For sure.
Even after I'm gone, you know. That's like, I forgot all about it when I used to go to Door County with my dad catching jumbo perch. I mean, had no idea what they were doing. You know, I was 7, maybe 8 years old, and we're catching jumbo perch, 2-pound, 3-pound jumbos, and the females are spitting eggs and the males are milking. Had no idea what they were doing to devastate that fishery. I mean, we used to take hundreds of perch home in a week. Sure. Going out off of Washington Island. They were on the rocks spawning. And like back then in the 60s, they had no idea about conservation. And that just goes to show you how much it's coming back, and especially Lake Michigan. The jumbos are coming back.
Lake Michigan, Green Bay, you know, everything, you know. And I guess that's an testament too, like changes that you've seen in your years of fishing, you know. The changes that have come about to protect what's valuable, to make these memories together for future generations to come. So super cool. I think there's an important lesson there for sure. If you guys
definitely
take something home from this, you know, show tonight.
Well, it's like all three of those big bass. How many guys would have let them go back in the day?
That's true. And I remember you talking about that, you know, those three bass you caught in Florida. And I remember, too, is you caught I believe it was like 6.5-pound largemouth on Kentucky Lake that you kept to mount. But also, too, again, advancements in technologies, replicas today look 20 times better than actually having an actual fish mounted, you know.
Yeah, and they don't decay.
And I remember you beat yourself up over keeping that 6.5-pounder.
Well,
and
I got berated into keeping it.
Yeah, you got peer pressured.
Yeah, I got peer pressured.
You caved.
I had it in the live well for 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, and that was funny. My buddy Bob had gotten a bait caster. I forget who gave it to him. I think my buddy Pete gave it to him. And he's having a rough time with it. And I said, here, you toss it like this. And I tossed it under. The wind was blowing and went underneath the log. Got heavy. And I set the hook. And he's like, I won't repeat what he said, but you know, I said, see what them bait casters do, you know, and I wanted to let it go and he wouldn't let me let it go.
Well, like you said, it's a different time, different age.
Well, and I hadn't caught them big ones either. Sure. That was before I caught the three big ones. So,
I mean, those photos have lasted longer than that mount, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's super cool, and it goes to show, you know, and it, again, something to learn from, you know, like I've seen so many guys over the past 5 years or so that have caught trophy fish, got replicas made, and they look just as good as the photos, if not better. Which
is cool. Well, if you get a good photo and measurements,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
Well, it's like Roger Gibson down in Florida. Somebody had made him a replica from the picture of the world record bass, and he had it on his wall.
Yeah.
Looked just like the real thing.
Well, I mean, they, I think that's in pretty much every Cabela's and Bass Pro Shop, right?
I think so, yeah. You know, yeah. Which,
yeah, man, a lot of good artists out there now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, with the airbrush and everything.
Yeah.
It's amazing what they can do. You know, same thing with the conservation on the sailfish and the marlin and, you know, all the different types of fish that, you know, same thing with the northern and the musky, you know, guys used to keep the trophy to hang on a wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just take a picture of it and the replica maker.
I think that's why you're starting to see some of these records being broken.
Yeah.
Just today I saw a guy broke the New York State smallmouth record. What was it? 8-9 pounds? It was a beast. I'll show it to you after we get done.
Yeah,
it was. I thought when I looked, I thought it was one of those joke pictures.
I thought like the same thing. I mean, it was a beast.
The size of that fish is unreal.
Yeah,
just unreal. Yeah.
And it's a live video of him weighing this fish at a weigh-in. It must have been at a tournament or something.
Yeah, that thing was gigantic. I cannot believe, like, a smallmouth that big. I mean, it was just huge.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny about, you know, you talk about seeing things come around. When in the 70s, I used to haul steel out of Youngstown and Cleveland. You'd go by the water down there on 90.
Lake Erie.
Lake Erie. And it was like a slough. It was like a mud pit. Mm-hmm. And they used to call it the Dead Sea. And
that smallmouth was 8¾ pounds.
And it's incredible. I mean, you can see 10, 12, 15 feet down now on Erie because of the zebra mussel.
Well, and look at too, like you were talking about perch. Jumbo perch out there is a huge thing now. Obviously, it's a world famous walleye fishery.
Yeah.
Steelhead, smallmouth, like, you know, East West Harbor every year. That's a tournament that guys look forward to every year on Lake Erie, East West Harbor, you know, and it's crazy how, exactly. Conservation has changed fisheries. Well, look at Green Bay too. Green Bay used to be a shithole.
Yeah.
Right. With all the industry that was going through there. And it's the same thing as Lake Erie, world renowned walleye fishery. Like, I'd argue that Green Bay is almost better than Erie. Erie might have
far as size.
Erie might have some more trophies, I think, but I don't know. It's hard to say. I've seen giants come out of both. You know what I mean?
Well, Erie, they don't want you to throw anything back. They want you to keep everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's so many. They're running out of food for them.
The gobies, right?
Well, the gobies and the perch. They eat the perch, the young perch.
Yeah.
So it's hurting the perch at Erie. Because the walleye, you know, they get the juvenile perch. It's a delicacy for them now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's any truth to it, but I was actually just watching, was it Barstool Outdoors with Sydney Well? And she was with Alex Perrick, and he was talking about the gobies in Lake Michigan. I think it's from this year. And he was saying that the smallmouth population is making a huge comeback because of the gobies.
Yeah, yeah, they've had some good goby spawns.
Yeah, so I mean, so there's like there's negatives and positives to it, right? So
sure,
where some's hurting, you know, something is growing stronger. I mean, they were in downtown Chicago fishing right off the what's it called right off the
maybe pier
on lake. Well, not all actually. They were by there, but they were like behind the field museum or the planetarium, the shit aquarium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were just walking around
McCormick Place. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, they were they'll pulling them like straight up because they were spawning. But I mean, mm-hmm. it was pretty interesting to hear that. I was like, oh, I was like, that's cool. You know, yeah. something good's coming. You know, of something that could be like really bad because I know they're in the Des Plaines because my you know my ass like pike lures were like hooking into these things, you know, and all of a sudden I'd spear a goby and I'd be like, what is going on out here?
Well, I know. Going back a couple of years trolling for Walters with old man Purrs up on Green Bay, you know, occasionally you get a goby that gets snagged up on a crawler harness or on a treble hook from a crankbait trolling, you know. And it's the same thing up there. I mean, those smallmouth forage on those gobies. Mm-hmm. Smallmouth and the Walters for sure. Because I know we've always, you know, you keep some Walters and you cut their stomach open, look what they're feeding on, you know, trying to figure them out. And nine times out of 10, there's gobies stuffed in there.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Yeah.
A lot of memories.
Yeah, man.
More to be made.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Even you, Jay. Even you.
Oh, thanks for the exception. You too, Brian and Papa Schiller.
No, I hope you guys get to spend some time with your families this weekend. Get outside, get outdoors. Pops, thank you for joining us tonight. It was
my pleasure.
It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
I'm glad none of the bad stories came out. Maybe we'll invite you back to tell
an after tell hours
stories from my childhood. And
I'd never tell them about the Explorer. Oh, never.
All right,
would.
All right. We're done. We're done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyways,
I wouldn't do that to him.
So anyways, if you guys came into the show late, you could always go back, rewatch on Facebook, YouTube, gets uploaded to all the major podcast platforms as soon as we get done here. So Jay, final thoughts?
I would say, like we touched on conservation, I would say everybody just, you know, always keep your eye on the ball, pay attention to that stuff. There's still stuff going on today that like the Boundary Waters has some issues. Yep. I mean, like, attention, guys. You know, elections have consequences. You know, they could legislate any of this stuff away any day. There's a fight every day going on about this stuff. So just make sure you stay in the right corner, pay attention, vote for the right people, you know, why so we can pass on more memories. No, I'm not being political. I'm just saying conservation, man.
Like, I'm just giving you a hard time.
I've just recently come to light and seen some stuff I just didn't know was going on. And sure. I have never been to the Boundary Waters. That one kind of hit hard because it's one of the places I do want to go.
Absolutely.
And it bothers me that there's stuff like this still going on and nobody seems to care. And I don't mean like our audience. I just like, you know, the people who just want to exploit it. You know, and like, but you won't have the, if you don't protect these things, you know, for one, you know, species die off and all that other stuff. And then also you can't make memories with people and everything. So I would just say, you know, just pay attention, be good stewards, and raise awareness when you can.
Happy Father's Day, Big Daddy, Mr. John Rapp in the house.
Mr. Rapp.
See you in about a month. Down there in old Florida, looking forward to sweating profusely in the middle of July at good old iCast.
Better bring some moisture wicking clothes, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust me. That's already on the 2-pack list for sure.
Yeah.
But and that, speaking of that, guys, gals, we'll have some pretty cool content coming out of iCast. I'll be down there. I got
Jesus, probably 20 podcasts I'll be doing from down there, both for New Canoe and Paddle and Fin, but we're going to stream both to both channels. So be on the lookout. Plus, we always make some contacts down there. If you guys want to hear from somebody that's going to be at ICAST, shoot us a message on Facebook, shoot us an email, paddle, the letter N, and fin at gmail.com. Let us know who you want to hear from. We'll make a connection down there, and we'll get that show set up so that way you guys can hear about what you want to hear about. So really looking forward to that, man, and can't wait. He says 20. Woot, woot. I don't know if that means 20 days. If that's the case, man, I got to get my
stuff probably together. Yeah, no, you better.
No.
No?
No, because today's the 16th. ICAST is the week of the 19th. So we got a month. Why are you getting me worried, John? We're good. We're good. So
they moved it up.
If you guys are new here, we're here every Thursday night, 7 Central, 8 Eastern, 5 o'clock out on the West Coast. As always, boys and girls, tight lines, smooth paddling.
Through with paddling. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.